Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One into it, just in case.
We dance to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Welcome back to Great Lakes Confidential with Angie and Marty. I am Angie. Hello, Marty.
Hi, I'm Marty.
You are. How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, it's a Sunday morning.
At the time of recording, yes.
Yep, and we are going to experience very, very, very cold temperatures this week. We're talking like, what is it going to be, like 8 degrees tomorrow and Tuesday?
Yeah, with like a negative 15 wind chill, something like that. Yeah,
not looking forward to it. I'm trying to rush spring, and it's just, I mean, I do this every year. I'm like, you know, I get over winter pretty quickly, and now all I can think about is spring, and I'm just constantly disappointed every morning when I wake up. So here we are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind it so bad, you know. It's only got work outside, but it's the fear of the car starting in the morning when it's so cold.
Yeah,
that kind of gets to you, and that heating bill when that shows up, that's always a punch to the gut
winter. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I live upstairs in an apartment, so you know, heat rises. So I don't have to have the heat on too high, which is nice. I'd say like some days it's about 69 to 70 degrees on a regular day, down to like 68, 67 at night. And some days, I mean, recently I've been very cold throughout the day and I've had to turn it up to like 72 or 73. And that's a lot. So anyways, just, you know, just what it's like to live in Michigan. So
yeah, pray for everybody.
Yep. Right. So today we're going to talk about the Pontiac Silver Dome. Yeah. So the Pontiac Silver Dome was the realization of a dream by C. Don Davidson, a Pontiac native and architect dedicated to revitalizing his hometown. So after excelling as a high school athlete, serving in the Marines, and earning a master's in urban planning and architecture, Davidson returned to Pontiac in 1965, shocked by its decline. Determined to improve the city, he spearheaded an effort to build a major sports complex. He engaged stockholders, started the Pontiac Times to promote his vision, and made it a college project to identify the ideal location. After much debate, Pontiac was selected over other sites for the stadium's construction. Davidson became the chief project designer for the 80,000-seat Pontiac Metropolitan Stadium, later renamed the Silver Dome, completed in 1975 at a cost of $55.7 million.
Wow.
Which
what year is this, 75?
75. So in today's money, that's about $324 million.
That's a lot of money.
That is a crazy amount of money. Initially conceived as a dual-use stadium for football and baseball, the design was scaled back due to costs. Davidson saw the Silverdome as a vital step toward Pontiac's renewal. The Pontiac Silverdome's original roof, made of Teflon-coated fiberglass panels and supported by air pressure, reflected sunlight to give it a silver-like appearance, inspiring its official name in 1977. After a heavy snowstorm on March 4, 1985, caused the roof to collapse, repairs were necessary. The snow depressed the panels, leading to a loss of air pressure and subsequent structural damage, including ruptured roof panels and dislodged seats.
Yeah, that's not good when that happens. Like, it's crazy when you see that happen, because you think they know what they're doing, right? You got this, like, I remember a few years ago, we got to witness this in real time in Minnesota. With their old football stadium.
Oh, yeah.
They had that massive snowstorm, and the whole roof just tore apart and collapsed. And I believe they ended up having to play their games here in Detroit, but I'm not sure if it was Detroit. Maybe it was somewhere else. But, yeah, like, you look at that, and you just assume somebody knew what they were doing when they built that.
Yeah.
Like, the air pressure, keeping the roof up. Like, sure, you got it all figured out, right? And then a heavy snowstorm happens, and it just looks like it was a child's fort built in a living room.
Right.
You know, like, what were you thinking? A piece of fabric just floating above the field?
Yeah. That's essentially what it kind of is, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy. Like, Pontiac, Minnesota, like why are we choosing these states in the snow belt to do this in?
Yeah, that's a good question. Good point.
I think it was just the... you know, that was the architecture of the day. That was the that was what everyone was doing.
Yeah,
that was the new thing.
The cool new thing. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's cool. The roof is just held up by air pressure. Nothing will ever happen.
It's fine.
Perfect. And think about how angry the people are going to be here yelling and all the hot air. It's just going to keep the roof, you know, inflated. Never going to have a problem.
I mean, they're lucky people weren't in it when it happened, right? Like, there wasn't anybody inside, so they're lucky that it wasn't during, like, a huge event. You've got 80,000 people in there, and the roof collapses. That would have been devastating.
Would it have? I mean, it's just a fabric roof. It would have been like at field day when you were a kid at school, and you all do that, like, parachute dance. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where they roll out that big parachute that every school had for some reason.
I love the parachute thing.
You shake it, and then you all get under it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's so funny. Where did they get that parachute from?
I don't know. And why was it part of our gym curriculum?
I don't know. I mean, that's, again, getting back to this is 70s, 80s, whatever, where people are sitting and writing out the thing. Well, what could these... what's a good way to keep these kids active? Well, what if we get a parachute? And they shake the parachute, and then they all jump under it and let it fall on them.
Do you remember the other things? We had these, I don't remember what they were called, but they were like square boards, square seats, and they had four wheels on them, and you sat on them and put your hands underneath of it to hold yourself on, and... it was almost like a weird demolition derby of elementary students. And you had to be real careful because you held on to the sides of it with your hands. Yeah. And it was real easy to crush your hands and your fingers in that. Why? What was that all about?
I remember those. And those were one of those things, too, where it's just like, I don't know if we're doing this right. Like,
yeah.
Right. Where did they all just get this, like, school... elementary school gym day starter pack that just had these little like dolly type things that you'd use to move furniture, but we'll have the kids sit on them and scoot around. They'll figure out a game. And then we got a parachute over here.
And then this giant red ball that we're going to have them just wail at one another from across the room, and we'll call it dodgeball.
Yeah, let's get a whole bunch of balls and just have the stronger kids just kick off. Like, these kids will be looking forward to this all day. Like, the bigger kids are just their chance to just waste everybody. They're looking at the clock. They're counting down the minutes till gym time.
Oh.
Meanwhile, nobody else knows what's coming.
Those things were brutal.
Dodgeball?
Yes.
Oh. I can still picture hear the sound of
the
that
sound. Yep.
That ball, yeah.
The, like,
that was funny because...
hollow ping.
Yeah. Like, I believe the brand name was Voit. Foit. And it was one of those things when I was a kid, that's the sound I would always hear whenever somebody got hit with one of those. Voit, voit.
Voit. Oh, man. Oh, those memories.
Field
wow.
Day in Michigan. Yeah.
That's crazy. Speaking of gym class, we had a jump roping team at our school, and we did a lot of jumping rope in class and in our gym class. And I remember my sister was a part of the jump rope club, and she could do like tricks and double dutch and all kinds of crazy stuff. And they don't have that anymore, that jump rope for heart, you know, gym class. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But
I don't know if we ever had any official jump roping stuff. I do remember learning square dance, though.
Oh, yeah. Square dance was a big one in gym class, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyways, back to the Silver Dome. Yeah. The damage forced the Detroit Pistons to finish their season at Joe Louis Arena and eventually contributed to their move to the Palace of Auburn Hills. Repairs, costing nearly $8 million, included replacing the entire roof with reinforced Teflon-coated fiberglass and adding improvements to prevent future collapses. The dome was reinflated on May 28, 1985, after weeks of delays due to high winds. The upgraded roof remained intact for nearly 28 years until 2013. I just feel like there's a better way to build a roof. I don't know.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. The largest crowd to gather at the Silver Dome was on September 18, 1987, for Mass with Pope John Paul II, with a reported attendance of 93,682, just shading the reported record of 93,173 set at the Silver Dome on March 29, 1987, for WrestleMania III.
Oh, yeah, that was a big one. That was the one that put WrestleMania on the map. Mm-hmm. Paul Hogan body-slamming Andre the Giant.
That was a big one. Another notable audience attendance record had earlier been broken on April 30th, 1977, when the English rock band Led Zeppelin played in front of 76,229 fans at the Silver Dome. This was, at the time, a new world record attendance for a solo indoor attraction, beating the 75,962 that The Who attracted there on December 6, 1975. The Detroit Pistons also set numerous NBA attendance records during their time at the Silver Dome. Regular season, 61,983 versus Boston on January 29, 1988. Playoffs, 41,732 versus the LA Lakers, June 16th of 1988.
Very cool.
It's crazy, though, the controversy surrounding, like, the attendance records there, because... Everybody, there's not everybody, but I've heard a lot of people say that WrestleMania 3 actually had more people in attendance than even the Mass with the Pope. But
see, I've always heard, I also heard that it had less than the announced number.
Like yeah.
That the WWE inflated that number.
Right. But it's hard. I think it was hard to, I mean, I don't know. It shouldn't have been hard to count the people because they had tickets. But they, you know, there was like so many people standing as opposed to, you know, like when you have like a basketball game, everybody's sitting. They're not standing on the, you know, on the ground there. So there was it was a huge difference, but I don't know. So this is from Wikipedia. So the numbers could be off slightly, but this is what I found in my research. So I don't know. Yeah. After the Detroit Lions relocated from the Silver Dome to Ford Field at the end of the 2001 season, the stadium saw a significant decline in activity. The Lions' final game there on January 6, 2002, lacked nostalgia, with players like Robert Porcher criticizing the stadium's artificial turf.
Oh, Robert Porsche.
Oh, Porsche. My bad.
Yeah, that's how it's pronounced. No, that's all right. Just thinking, yeah, that's the old Lions criticizing everything.
I've never heard of that player before.
Robert Porcher, he was a guy. he was one of the standouts during the very lean years at the turn of the century, I would say.
Okay. He was a guy. Yeah. Marty coming with the big facts. He was a guy.
It's hard to say, like, oh, no, man, he's a Lions Hall of Famer because – you know, I know we don't really want to talk about the Lions today, but not too many Hall of Famers in their history.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know?
But there's local legends and, you know, guys that were good while they were here, and Robert Borchet was one of them.
All right.
He's one of the standouts.
Okay.
But it's hard to be a standout when your team's awful. Yeah. You know, and everyone looks at you and they think that you don't care. You're putting in no effort, Borchet. But yeah, he was one of the bigger names. And I think he got a job broadcasting with the Lions later on.
Oh, okay.
Could be wrong.
Huh.
I mean, maybe he's part of the radio broadcast team right now. I'm not even sure.
All right. That's fair. The Silverdome found limited use afterward, including inline skating on its upper concourse, hosting Jehovah's Witnesses annual conventions until 2004, and serving as a venue for events like Monster Jam in 2006.
Yeah.
It also briefly housed a 3-screen drive-in theater in its parking lot from 2003 to 2006, and again in 2010 before closing in 2011. The stadium served as a practice facility for the Pittsburgh Steelers during Super Bowl XL, with the NFL installing and later donating field turf to a local high school. I know it's not called Super Bowl XL. I don't know my Roman numerals, so sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I forget which one it is now. It's like 40 or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I mean, everyone just called it Super Bowl XL anyway.
Yeah. With the decline of activity after the Detroit Lions left the Silverdome, the city of Pontiac faced severe financial issues and struggled with the high maintenance costs of the stadium. Multiple attempts to sell it failed, including bids of $12 million and $18 million to repurpose it. In October 2009, the city decided to auction the property with no minimum bid and relaxed zoning regulations to attract buyers. Greek-Canadian developer Andreas Apostolopoulos of Triple Properties, Inc. won the auction with a bid of $555,000 plus fees totaling $583,000. The sale of the Silverdome, originally built in 1975 for $55.7 million, symbolized the collapse of real estate values in the Detroit area. Critics blamed the sale on poor city management and a lack of planning for the stadium's future. In 2010, new owner Andreas Apostolopoulos pledged to revive the Silverdome as a major event venue, investing millions in its renovation. The stadium reopened on April 17, 2010, with a monster truck event and later hosted an exhibition soccer match between AC Milan and Panathinaikos FC. On August 6, 2010. On January 29, 2011, it held a professional boxing match featuring Timothy Bradley and Devin Alexander with about 7,000 attendees. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine going to the Silverdome for those later years, because from what I remember of it, like, it was a, like, it ended up just turning, well, you probably got this in your story, so don't let me jump ahead.
All right, well, I'll finish up, and then you can. I'm just amazed that it could fit 93,000 people in it, and then for this boxing match, there was only 7,000 people. Like, it had to have looked so crazy to have all those seats empty like that, and to be boxing.
And I mean, that's the thing too, is I wonder what it was looking like then too, because I mean, it was already, you know, in a state of disrepair and all that. So. Yeah.
Pretty dilapidated. Had,
like, yeah, like, sections closed off. Yeah. And maybe that's why they only had, like, sold 7,000 tickets. I don't know.
Good questions, though. Yeah. Plans to pursue a Major League Soccer expansion team and renovate the stadium were considered, but ultimately abandoned due to a lack of events and the collapse of the roof in 2013, leaving further development plans in limbo. In 2014, the Silverdome owners announced an auction of the facility's contents, including seats and fixtures. By December 2014, photos captured the stadium's abandoned and deteriorated state after the 2013 roof collapse. Plans for demolition were announced in October of 2015, initially scheduled for spring of 2016, and later delayed to December of 2017. In June of 2016, a fire caused by arson destroyed the former press box. Around this time, the parking lot became a storage site for Volkswagen diesel cars following the 2015 emissions scandal, leading to conflicts between the dome's owner and the city over its condition and use.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, that when it just became that kind of storage lot for a while, and there was just a whole bunch of Volkswagens that they couldn't sell, just sitting in the lot.
Wow. Glory days. I didn't live down here then, so I don't know all of this. Like, I, you know, every now and again I can like sort of remember, like, oh, the roof collapsed and that was a story, yeah. And you know, but I don't remember a lot of this stuff. So it's crazy. And it just became a storage site. Like, what?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was just like, it looked like the parking lot was full, you know, they just parked all these cars and they were all those, you know, defective or recalled cars. And they just sat there and the roof collapsed. And I mean, the whole thing, it just looked terrible.
I bet.
Just trashy.
Wow.
And it's just crazy because that Silverdome seemed like it would last forever.
You would think. Yeah. That's, yeah. But I mean, the location too, like Pontiac.
Yeah.
Pontiac's not great, unfortunately. I mean,
yeah, and I mean, but it was situated right off of M59 right there, where it's kind of freeway-ish, so it was, you know, easy to jump on, jump off.
Right. Well, in 2017, the Pontiac Silverdome was condemned and prepared for demolition, involving environmental remediation, waste removal, and asbestos panel removal. The Endamo Group, also responsible for demolishing Atlanta's Georgia Dome, began the process with a planned partial implosion on December 3rd, 2017. However, a wiring issue caused 8 explosive charges to fail, delaying the implosion until a second successful attempt the following day using double the explosives. By March 2018, the stadium was fully demolished, leaving a 50-foot deep hole and 55,000 cubic yards of crushed concrete for landfill material.
Oh, yay. Yeah, I remember that it took like a couple attempts to blow it up.
I vaguely remember hearing about that, too.
Yeah.
So that's the Silverdome.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, it was such an important, you know, cultural monument in the area for so long that it just really kind of was surprising at how quickly it fell and how absolutely it fell. You know, like, you figured somebody would do something and renovate it and build it up, and now it's just an Amazon warehouse site. So it's just really, really kind of strange that, you know, same thing with the Palace of Auburn Hills. You know, that seemed like it would be there forever. I mean, that's where the Pistons played. That's where all these big concerts came through. And then all of a sudden they were just like, you know what, we're going to move the Pistons down to Detroit, and then we're getting rid of the Palace. And it was just like, why are we getting rid of the Palace? I mean, I thought the Palace, you know, was still, hey, you know, you go to Ford Field and it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a totally modern field. It's great. The other arenas, stadiums weren't really, you know, up to par, up to like that modern level of convenience. So I guess, you know, instead of renovating it, it's just cheaper to destroy them. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper, but man, it really, I don't know. It just kind of, like, it's depressing, and it changes the landscape, obviously. And it, you know, like this, you know, we talked about how this made Pontiac, you know, they lost so much money from the city of Pontiac, you know, struggled because of it, because they weren't, the Silverdome was no longer open. And, you know, you think about all the money that comes in at the Palace for the Pistons games or the concerts that they had there, because they had big names at the Palace. It's not like it was, you know, a small venue. It was huge. I think I saw New Kids on the Block at the Palace, actually.
Yeah,
it was a couple years before they closed it down. So, you know, you think about all the money that it brings into the city when you have these huge events, and it's just so sad to think that those places are gone forever now, and they'll never be replaced.
I guess on one side it's sort of a good sign. It's like the sign that, you know, Detroit has finally healed more from the, you know, the riots in the 60s and the flight out of Detroit. You know, by being able to bring all the teams back into Detroit, you know, playing at Little Caesars Arena, playing at Ford Field. However, you know, you look at areas like Pontiac. Pontiac definitely, you know, needed that financial boost that, yeah. that the Lions gave them. And when you took that away from them, you know, Pontiac doesn't really have anything.
No.
You know, a Pontiac, there's probably stuff I don't know about that's there, but it always seems to be that city that kind of struggles and gets forgotten about, you know, in the shadow of Detroit. And the fact that you're the county seat for Oakland County, one of the richest counties in America, or was, you know, used to be one of the richest counties in America. I'm sure it's still up there. You're the county seat, and they just kind of, you know, let you just rot.
Yeah.
It's just doesn't seem fair or cool. And then I think about, you know, the Palace of Auburn Hills, that little stretch where the palace was, there were so many of those businesses right on that road that depended on that, the palace business, you know, like bars and restaurants and all that. But once that closed, what happens to those businesses?
Right.
I believe the Palazzo de Bocce is still there, which is cool as hell, but that's like this like big bocce ball like complex that was across the street from the palace. Mm. You know, you could sit and, you know, have nice some nice food and drinks right there at your bocce ball court. Like it's a lot of fun to go to, but I don't know, you know, I don't know how they're doing. I don't know how they're doing now. You know, that's, they are the draw in the area now. They're not like a supplemental business to the Silverdome.
Right. And I mean, let's be real too. Auburn Hills is a pretty ritzy area. Like,
oh yeah, it's losing, definitely doing better than Pontiac.
Yeah, losing the palace didn't affect Auburn Hills as badly as losing the Silverdome affected Pontiac. That's for sure.
I mean, Pontiac just seems to, for a while, you know, like the 80s, 90s, it seemed like a lot of like stuff would be moving out there, and now it's just kind of that ripe for the plucking. Take everything back from Pontiac, put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, Arts, Beats, and Eats originated in Pontiac.
Did it really?
It was probably there for like 10, 15, 20 years before it moved to Royal Oak.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it used to be at the, like the site of the Phoenix Plaza, which, again, was an amazing outdoor concert venue that I don't think gets used anymore as a concert venue because, you know, it was an open amphitheater right downtown Pontiac. So there was no way you could control the noise. So I think, you know, they used to get noise complaints there all the time. And I don't know. Poor Pontiac just can't have anything, man. Mm-mm.
That's really sad.
It is. It is. And I mean, I like Pontiac. I spent a lot of time there as a kid. Like, you know, in the 90s, wow, Pontiac was a real cool place. Like a bunch of, like, that's where you went for, like, all the nightclubs were in Pontiac. Like, it was, yeah, it was a happening place.
Interesting.
I mean, they're still there. You still see them, but they, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just older and I'm just out of that loop, so I don't know if it's cool or not to go to Pontiac anymore, but I never really hear people talking about Pontiac, you know.
Yeah.
They'll go for a concert, but I don't know. You don't really hear people, you know, hanging out there like they used to.
I think when my son and I went to see Joe Pera the first time, it was in Pontiac, but I can't remember where it was.
At the Crowfoot, wasn't it? The Crowfoot?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was a smaller venue.
Yeah.
But there was, I remember there's like two venues right there kind of across the street from each other. And we, because there was another big event, not a huge event, but like some bands or whatever at the one building. And then we had the Joe Pera show at the, you know, the other building. And I can't remember the name of the place, but I'm pretty sure that was out in Pontiac that we went to.
I mean, there used to be a lot of places that were out there. There used to be Clutch Cargos was there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
God, and, I forgot about Clutch Cargos. Yeah, I spent a lot of time. Church. Yep, I spent a lot of time there when I was a teenager.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, like I said, all the, all those, bars, nightclubs on Water Street.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're still there. Some of them, they're still there in some form, but it just doesn't seem like they were as lively as they used to be. I mean, that was, like I said, a real happening place.
Is Clutch Cargo still there?
No, it's like, I don't know. I want to say like some religious group ended up buying the building.
Oh. Okay.
Buying it back, whatever, and took it over, and yeah, Clutch Cargos isn't there anymore. Like, yeah, I mean, I think about like all the legendary bands I saw in Pontiac.
Yeah.
It's all the Beastie Boys in Pontiac.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm jealous of that one.
A lot of stuff. So I'll have to go through the old archives and figure out. I saw White Zombie in Pontiac. Not Rob nice. Zombie, White Zombie.
Nice. I've seen White Zombie and Rob Zombie, but it wasn't in Pontiac. Looks like Clutch Cargo's closed in 2013.
Yeah.
Is it that recent? Just 12 years ago?
Yeah. It's been a long time. Time flies.
Yeah. Yep, it was taken over by a religious group.
Yeah, like I want to say like probably like the end of the aughts, the 2000s is when Pontiac really just kind of disappeared off the map. I mean, it was going that way, but as far as an entertainment district, it just seems like everything just kind of dried up around then. Like there's still concerts, there's still cool stuff that happens there, but you know, I mean, that place was hopping every weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool place to go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the story for today.
Thank you, Silverdome.
Thanks a lot, Silverdome.
You did your best.
I don't know if I've ever...
You did your best, Silverdome and developer. Yeah. You guys did your best.
I don't know if I've ever been to the Silverdome or not. Like, I can't remember... I went to a monster truck thing when I was a kid, but that was in, like, the 80s. So were they doing... That had to have been like 85, 86. Were they doing monster truck rallies at the...
It probably was the Silverdome.
Okay. Okay.
Because that was always the home of Monster Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing the Lions on Monday Night Football there back in the day. Seeing Barry Sanders run all over the Raiders. That was cool. One thing that always struck me about the Silverdome, and other people will say it too, is the amount of fights that would break out there.
Really?
Yeah, like at Lions games and all that. Like, I don't know if they just overserved people, but it seemed like, you know, the fans would always end up getting into fist fights with each other.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Something in the air.
Yeah. And what's in the air is the roof.
Indeed. If it was at the Silverdome where I went, I lost one of my jelly shoes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it fell down in the bleachers, and whoever we were with had to go and find it.
Baby.
Yeah, I was like probably 5 or 6.
Did they find it?
I think so.
Okay.
I just remember I had pink jelly shoes, and I lost one of them in the bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sucks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they must have gotten it back. I'm sure that somebody got it back somehow. I don't know.
Good.
That's my Pontiac Silverdome story. If it was even at the Silverdome, I don't really know. So
I'm pretty sure it was probably at the Silverdome because, yeah, like I said, that's where the old Monster Jam always happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, where else would it have been? Like,
right.
Really?
The Palace? No. Well, I mean, maybe, but pretty sure it was Silverdome.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they were uniquely, that's the one cool thing too about Pontiac is that you're uniquely situated to kind of serve the Detroit and the Flint market.
Yeah.
When they were in Pontiac, you know, so I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people would, you know, consider the Silverdome in their backyard from Flint.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people would go down there for that. And, yeah. But now you got to drive all the way to Detroit if you want to catch Monster Jam.
Where do they do it at Ford Field now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, they like football.
Yeah. It's the right size, like a football stadium.
Yeah.
You know, they're generally a lot bigger than any other types of stadiums, so.
I'm always amazed at how big Ford Field is when I go in there.
Yeah, it's pretty massive.
Yeah.
They do a really good job at Ford Field, I think, like as far as just everything, the presentation, the way it's put together, it's mm-hmm. a nice looking stadium.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of really good, I really like Comerica. It's not Comerica. Yeah, it is. It's Comerica.
Yeah.
I always forget which, if it's, because I still call it Tiger Stadium a lot, and
yeah,
and it's not Tiger Stadium anymore, but it's where the Tigers play, so.
Yeah, I remember when they built that stadium, and Yeah, everyone was mad about the naming rights, you know, because they wanted it to be Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
They didn't want to call it Comerica Park. So these people came up with a nickname for it, like newscasters and all that, and they started calling it the Copa.
The Copa?
Having a little game down at the Copa today with the Tigers taking on the Twins at the Copa. And then, Comerica Park or Comerica Bank complained, and everybody stopped using that phrase.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, Copa sounds a lot better than Comerica Park.
I think of Copacabana.
Yeah, exactly. You think of Copacabana, but yeah, you don't think of Comerica, the mm-mm bank.
No.
So that's why they got mad, and they were like, will you guys please stop calling it the Copa? We paid for that.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably have a show about Comerica someday and the Tigers, and maybe we'll talk about Little Caesars Arena at some point. I mean, we've got a lot of really cool venues in downtown Detroit, and I mean, all over Metro Detroit, really. So plenty of places to talk about and learn the history on. So
I love talking about the older places too, but you know, it also doesn't really do people too much of a service if they're looking for a place to go to now.
Yeah.
You know, like we can talk about the history of Olympia Stadium, but then it's like, all right, but where can I go now if I want to?
Right. Exactly.
Big time wrestling on a Friday night.
Well, so that kind of, that sort of segues into what we're going to talk about next week, which is Michigan Mountains.
Okay.
And these are places that you can go and visit. So
you said mountains plural?
Yeah.
Like more than just the porcupine?
Yeah, Michigan has quite a few different mountain ranges.
Ooh, looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I only really know about the Porkies and Mount Holly, Mount Clemens, Mount Pleasant.
Those aren't mountains, you goof.
All right. Well, it looks like we're all going to learn together next week then.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool. So I'm excited for it. So
yes, looking forward to it.
Yeah. So that's the show today. We are almost done with season three. So it's hard to believe that the season's coming to an end soon. But we've only got about four more episodes before we shut down for the summer. So.
Oh, wow. It's not even anywhere close to summer either.
I know, but
enjoy your break.
Yeah, enjoy your break. And I'm this is like a personal note, but I am going to be starting a course for my HR certification in about 2 weeks. So it's a 13-week long course. So I've started studying and started, going through my stuff that I'm going to need for class that starts up here soon. So it'll be nice to not have to worry about podcasting, so I can focus on my HR certification and get that done and over with. So I'm pretty excited. I'm kind of freaking out. I'm nervous. I haven't been in school in a really long time. But TikTok shutting down and the show being over for the season, it's probably exactly what I need so I can focus my energy on schooling. So.
Oh, you'll do great, too.
Well, thank you. There's a part of me that's like, you've got this. You're already working in HR. You've been working in HR for a while, you know. But then there's another part of me that sits down and starts going over, like, my flashcards. And I'm like, what does this mean again? So, you know, I'm going to do my best. So that's all I can ask
for
myself.
You're going to do great. You're a very smart person. You're gonna conquer this. You'll do fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just don't stress yourself out over it.
I know. That's the big thing, is putting myself in a panic mode and then not being able to focus because I'm focusing too much on my heart beating out of my chest or, you know, whatever other.
Or you're telling yourself you can't do this, which is wrong.
Exactly.
You can do it. Thank you.
I'm gonna do it.
You're gonna do it.
I am. So, alrighty, on that note, let's get on out of here. We'll talk to you guys next week, like I said, about mountains in Michigan. Got a lot to learn, so be pretty cool. In the meantime, be safe, stay warm, bundle up out there. Make sure your car has all the necessary things just in case you get stranded someplace, because that's not fun in the winter.
No.
And watch for deer and text us when you get home.
Bye.
Bye.